morning's gospel reading is found in Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 22, and can be found on page 1037 of the Pew Bibles or on the screens in front of you. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
One day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him up, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" he asked his disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? He commands even the wind and the water, and they obey him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Father God, may you take these words that I've prepared, Lord, and bless them, that they might speak to us of your love and your mercy, your grace and your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Do take a seat. The second Sunday before Advent. I'm not going to lie, I was a bit scared when I wrote that. Not Advent, why does it say Advent? It should say Lent. I was a bit tired when I wrote that, but it should have said Lent. But I was scared because I thought it said Lent. Welcome to the world of a dyslexic. It has to be said, we forgot to say in the notices, a week on Wednesday will also be our Ash Wednesday service in the evening. So do start putting that in your thing. It's a late Lent this year, but we are looking forward to it. And as we move towards Lent, we're moving through the first part of the book of Luke in the lectionary. And today we have these great readings from Luke and from Revelation. And it's one of those many occasions when I'm pleased, thank you, Andrew, that you got to read the whole of Revelation 4 and I got to read a short passage from Luke 8. But what we're thinking about this morning is these two questions. Two questions that we need to ask ourselves, not just today, but on a regular basis. Who is this? And where is your faith? The questions that the disciples asked one another of Jesus, who is this? And the question that Jesus asked of the disciples, where is your faith? And in these two passages today, we have two wonderful images of two very different scenes. In our reading from Luke, we have the disciples with Jesus setting out across the lake. Now, Jesus and the disciples have been working, he's been teaching, he's been healing, and all of a sudden he says to them, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." It's not clear at this point why he wants them to go over to the other side of the lake. Is it because they want a break and a rest from the crowds? Is it because he wants to teach the people on the other side? We don't know. But actually, this is a fairly normal thing for Jesus to say to them. They lived on the lake. They'd grown up on the lake. They worked on the lake. So let's go to the other side of the lake was a fairly normal thing for Jesus to say, and it's a fairly normal thing for them to do. This is a picture of two boats on the Sea of Galilee. Now, we do call it the Sea of Galilee, but that apparently, I've been informed, comes from a mistranslation. See, when the person, his name was Jerome, translated the Greek New Testament into Latin for the first time, he'd never actually been to Israel. So when he was looking through the Greek, trying to work out what it said and how to translate it, he got to this word, which could mean pond, lake, sea, anything like this. And he's like, "Well, what should I translate it as?" And having never been to Galilee and never seen the lake, He went, well, if it can throw up such violent storms that a boat can be swamped, this must be a sea. As it happens, he was wrong. It's a lake, and very often the Lake of Galilee will look just like it does in this photo, calm and crystal and still. But you see, because of where the lake exists, it falls between the hills of Israel and the Golan Heights on the other side. And it's actually fairly well known by people who live in that area that at very short notice, because the winds can whip down through the hills, down from the north, then you can suddenly get a storm. That it could start off as a beautiful day, and suddenly a storm can start blowing around the lake. And as you set off in crystal clear waters, you can find your boat being tossed and thrown around by the sea. And that is what happened on this occasion. And Jesus' disciples, many of them fishermen, many of them who've lived around the lake, wouldn't be surprised by this. But more normally, if they were fishing, they wouldn't be that far from the shore. If a wind came in and the waves built up, they would just come in at the first signs and they'd be safe. But if they found themselves halfway across the lake, then this could be a dangerous time. And Jesus had said to them, let's go across to the other side of the lake. They'd set off, presumably, in crystal calm conditions. And Jesus had fallen asleep in the back of the boat. The small wooden boat, overladen with Jesus and 12 disciples. And then all of a sudden, the storm had thrown up and squalled up and rampaged up. And suddenly, this small boat, overladen with people, could no longer cope. And the water was filling in, and they were beginning to drown. And this is the point at which they wake Jesus up and say, Master, Master. And he does the most amazing thing. He wakes up and he commands both the wind and the waves, and they obey him. They calm themselves down, and the storm is subdued. He turns to his disciples and he asks the question, where is your faith? What had they been putting their trust in? Had they been putting their trust in the boat that they had set out in and its ability to carry 13 men? Had they put their trust in their knowledge of the lake and how to navigate it and the weather conditions in the local area? Had they put their faith and their trust in their own ability to sail, being men of the lake and men of the boats? Had they put their trust or their faith, or had they just resigned themselves even to the fate of the indiscriminate impact of the nature that they see around them? Where was their faith? Because you see, we all have faith. People, when they find out you're a vicar, they often turn to me and they say, oh, I wish I had the faith that you have. And to a certain amount, I understand that, because the Bible tells us that faith in God is a gift, and he gives it out to those who ask, and he gives it to his children. And we should all be praying that God would give us more faith. But actually, faith is something that we all have. We all exercise faith, don't we? That when we turn up to church in the mornings, Peter Watson has opened the door for us. He's not here right now, so I can talk about him. But He does it every single week. And he sets up the tea and the coffee. And he puts out the chairs. Talking of chairs, when Fiona says, please take a seat, we exercise faith in the fact that the seat isn't going to collapse underneath us. But we also exercise faith in larger areas of life. We exercise faith in our government. For anyone who's wondering, that was the assistant minister who chuckled at that point. If you'd like to come and discuss politics with her afterwards, then please do. We put faith in our economy. We put faith in our ability to earn enough money to provide for ourselves and our families and to look after ourselves as we retire in the future. Or for some of us, in the past. We all have faith. And Jesus is asking not, don't you have any faith? But where is your faith? What are you putting your faith in? What are you trusting in? And after he'd done this, the disciples responded in amazement and asked the question, who is this? I think this needs to be taken in context. And that's one of the reasons it's great sometimes to have a copy of the Bible with you. I know that the passages come up on the screen, but actually, if you have the Bible, once they've gone, you can check that I'm not making stuff up, and you can also see where this passage comes. And here in Luke 8, we can see that the disciples have been with Jesus through many exploits already. They might have seen him be baptized by John in the Jordan and seen the dove come down. They've certainly been with him in his hometown when he healed Simon Peter's mother. They've seen him cast out unclean spirits. They've seen him heal many people. They've seen him forgive people. They've seen him teach. But it's at this point they stand amazed and asked, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? For some of us who've been following Jesus for many years, I wonder what it would take for us to ask the question again, who is this? When was the last time that Jesus surprised you, amazed you, took your breath away, as he did with the disciples on this occasion? It's interesting today to have this passage contrasted with that of Revelation 4. If we can take a moment to look at the passage that Andrew read to us. This is a passage from the Revelation to John about the things that God is doing and will do in the world. And it's a book that's written in picture language that many of his readers would have understood. But we can understand as well if we study it, but also if we can just allow the images to speak to us. And this one is an image has echoes throughout the Old Testament of what it is like around the throne of God in his kingdom in heaven. And here you have creatures and angels and men and women, and they can see God for who he is. There is no question at this point, as God sits on his throne with all his glory and his majesty and his splendor revealed in this wonderful picture language that John is trying to use, trying to grasp onto the amazingness, the goodness, the breathtakingness. I'm sure that's not a word, but we'll go with it. The breathtakingness of this image he has of heaven. Have you ever had such a thought that you want to explain it to someone, but no matter how many words you use, you just can't quite explain it? But the image we get that's communicated by John through these words is that actually, here in this, around the throne room, nobody is asking the question, who is this? Everybody there knows. And it goes on in the book of Revelation to tell us that there will be a time when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Everyone in all of heaven and earth will know who God is. No one will ask the question, who is this anymore? We will all know. We can ask the question also, where is your faith of those who surround the throne of God in heaven? They know who it is, and they put their trust in him, and they reflect that in their worship. And they say, you are worthy, O Lord and God, to receive all glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by you they were created and have their being. They know who he is, and they know where they are putting their trust. So we have these two pictures. One of Jesus and the disciples on the lake. The other of the throne of God in heaven. And we have these two questions. Who is he? And where is our faith? What about us, who neither find ourselves in a small boat on the Lake of Galilee with Jesus, nor with this image of heaven? What about us in the day-to-day and the mundane of life? When do we ask the question, who is this? And what is our answer? What about when life is difficult? Where do we put our faith? Now, going back to the disciples who'd been with Jesus and walked with Jesus and were still asking this question, who is Jesus? I want to encourage us that actually we can ask that question and know the answer. And there are a number of ways in which we can do that. Unlike those disciples, we have the Bible. We have the whole story of who Jesus is and what he did in his life. We know about the cross where Jesus died for each of us. We know that he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven. When they were on that lake, they hadn't seen that happen yet. When they did, they were transformed women and men who preached the gospel across the known world. When we spend time in our Bibles, when we read our Bibles, we can see who Jesus is. We can know the answer to that question. But we can also know because we can see glimpses of what John saw in heaven. Because the Bible teaches us not that heaven is this other place that we will go to one day if we're good enough when we die. Heaven teaches us that the Bible teaches us that heaven, is God's kingdom, the place where God reigns, and that heaven and earth are just two sides of the same reality. And since Jesus came and rose again, since he sent his Holy Spirit to live among us, we too can have glimpses of that reality as we worship and as we pray, as we meet together as God's church, as we see some of the good things that God has created in the world. We too can have a glimpse of the glory of the Creator God. And we can know who He is. The question then comes, where do we put our faith? And that's where I want to leave you thinking this morning. Because God is a God who reveals Himself. He reveals Himself in creation. He reveals Himself in community. He reveals Himself in the Bible, in dreams, and as we pray. The questions that we need to ask ourselves is, who is this that is revealed to me? And in the light of that decision, where will I put my faith? Amen.